Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, mukwa di songi di, vakna di kuideligi drengi, di høyre nyken på havet skri, for di heb sovet i for lenge. Hei, mukva, di som vi lønn, vakna di kuidelige drenge, di høyre nyken den heien hun, for di heb sovet i for lenge. Nyken han tala til styringsmann, vakna di koedelige drenge, du styrer mitt skip på kriste land, for di heb sovet i for lenge. Jeg vil meg på Kristi land gå, vakna di koedelige drenge, den vene jomfrua vil jeg få, for di sovet i for lenge.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I've been planning this. Okay, wait. I am the ever-expanding, ever-grounding Golden Hawk, and I'd like to introduce my co-host, the ever-expanding, ever-enchanting, always grounded, Janine. Janine Gimmel.
Thank you. Hello. Hello,
You're Shay. Welcome. I was practicing that in my head.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah, right? Right? Hey, if the field fits, you wear it.
If the field fits, wear it. And the courageous.
Yes, be courageous. Definitely.
Be courageous. Think
so
courageous.
So much to share. Yes, yes, we really, right? Right?
Right, yeah.
So
we were all
share.
Set. We were all set until we started watching George Kavassalis, and then it was... And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. You just posted it, and I couldn't stop watching it, you know?
Yeah, highly recommend it. If you guys are on Facebook,
yeah.
I just posted George Kavassalis' latest talk from a UFO conference, like March 14th or something. I'm not sure of the date, but it's pretty recent, and he is sparkling as always, but... You know, one thing that is very clear, and I so respect George for this, is his ability to allow the information coming through him to morph and shift.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hello, life is coming through us. It's morphing and it's shifting. So, of course, the information delivered is going to morph and shift. And it's not about, oh, you know, you gave a date and it didn't come through, or... You know, you said this, and now you're changing your mind. You know, when you feel his presence, which I have no trouble feeling George's presence when he shares, and when you feel his presence, you really understand that he speaks from a now point of view, and that there's so much shifting going on in consciousness and in the world that it will take universal truths and shift them, whether they be dates or experiences from the planet. But there's a level of clarity that, I mean, George's level of awareness just continues to blow my socks off. And what's so amazing is Janine and I are both going through our own experiences of expanded clarity, which we're going to be sharing, you know, the stories and the experiences tonight. And, you know, it really is... It's available to all of us. That's the truth. And if you're willing to look at yourself honestly And I mean honestly, no bullshit. Really look at yourself from both polarities, from both the polarity of light, both the polarity of dark, and then a polarity of truly just, I want to call it neutrality, but I never really got there from neutrality. I got there from the accepting of my dark side really is for me the key to experiencing more of this expanded clarity, a place that I am neutral. I mean, you become more and more neutral in the sense of you just don't judge your own darkness anymore. You just simply, you know, like for me, I went through an experience last week where I'm changing the paradigm of how I experience my relationship with Scott. And there was, you know, there's a moment in time where basically whenever you introduce a change to any relationship, it's going to stir things up. Boy, my throat is all whacked tonight. reminds me of when I did the interview with George. It got whacked that night too. It's just interesting. Anyways, so I'm intentionally throwing in, you know, a perspective where I'm not doing something because it's something rote or I'm changing an old belief and I'm updating it to a new belief. And for 2 days, me and Scott went through tension. And it was very interesting because, you know, both days by choice, because I inserted and I was conscious that I inserted this new way of being in our relationship, I decided not to. Normally when me and Scott aren't good, I go back home to my dad's. But I'm realizing that when it's me that kind of angers Scott because it's something I did, I don't need to run away from that. In fact, it's really important for the whole experience that I experience Scott's displeasure, I experience my own displeasure, because it's part of the initiation of instilling a new belief into the relationship. I mean, it's almost like the toll. It's the toll you have to pay to ride the street of the new relationship. and the clarity that comes after riding it through, which was, I mean, for me, there's always, you know, we talked about this, Janine, there's always the chance that when we introduce something new to a relationship, it's not going to be accepted by whoever's in the relationship, whether it's a boss or a family member or a partner, whoever. They, you know, they might simply go, I don't like the new you, I'm out of here. Or, of course, they very well might not even say anything, but just readjust themselves to the new frequency that you're bringing in, which is what Scott did. And after 2 days, it makes it worthwhile those 2 days that my stomach was tight and, you know, I was definitely in chaos and I was in pain. It was physically, you know, an uneasy space for me to be in, but hot diggity dog, boy. You know, once that new updated version of me is now in place, I guess it's soul awareness and it's growth and it's an expansion and it's wild. It's wild, and I highly recommend this experience to be experienced by all. You know, like you were saying, Janine, have the courage to, you know, well, I mean, I'm just going to be blunt. Have the courage that if you're going to talk the talk about making changes and being change in your life and actually living the words that you're speaking, because that's when it starts changing the field. You're literally your morphogenetic field, the field around your body really starts showing the changes.
Because you're changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I remember listening to when I used to listen to Lisa Renee's work, it was always about, you know, find a place of neutrality. And, you know, I was like, okay. And then, you know, basically, you know, something would trigger me. And I was anything but neutral. I wasn't neutral. You know, I was pissed off and I wanted to respond in kind. But what I'm learning, I'm understanding neutrality. It's not about not feeling, at least to me, because when I was going through this pain in my gut and all this for 2 days last week, it was so clear to me because I consciously made the choice to insert this new Goldie, that the pain wasn't, like, I can remember being rejected by Scott or in a relationship where you feel rejection, and it took me down. You know, it was just like, you know, why doesn't he love me? I try to be everything he needs me to be. And, you know, that there was this whole story around my pain, and there was a depression, and, you know, it was all encompassing. Where this time the physical effects were the same. I mean, it was tightness in my belly. I couldn't sleep. My mind definitely, it kept wanting to loop. Mm-hmm. But the presence of me being conscious when I did it was, the difference it made was there was no story around my pain other than this is just a matter of what I've been calling lately is I'm a corkscrew. And I'm just turning my life to make it my beliefs and my actions be in alignment with who I consciously know myself to be. So it's painful because it's a new expression of me. And, you know, anytime you introduce newness, it can put, you know, the whole environment off balance. But and there's pain involved in that. But it's not the same pain as being a victim or feeling unwanted, or it's nothing like that. I was telling Janine, there's almost an ecstasy,
yeah,
to the pain, because it's almost what I believe those, like, Tai Chi guys go through, or those Taekwondo people where they know how to, you know, focus their energy and bend the sword from their belly. You know, it's like,
yeah,
meaning, you know, it's just, you're so present in your own experience. And it takes courage, and it takes strength, and it takes a belief in yourself to do it, because you really never know how your partner is going to behave. You know, they really could say, hey, listen, I'm not digging this. You know, I'm out.
And, you know, that could take that, and that out, or that I'm not digging this could actually last for days, hours, weeks. And that's just sort of, you know, the ability to hold the space in that discomfort,
right,
is really significant, because, I mean, I've noticed that this has been such a process of that kind of work, of where you enter these uncomfortable spaces. They do feel awful, and you ride it out. You're in it, and, you know, somewhere along the line, I don't know where, but you start to feel this, it's almost like magnetic or something, where you've come so far into these processes of wanting to be authentic and dedicated to being authentic and moving in that direction of authenticity and moving away from the artificial and, you know, really, I can't pinpoint how or when it really feels like, wow, I really feel this. But George said something, and as you're talking, it struck me what it is that once we're on the other side of this, you know, you get through this discomfort. It's very similar to what George was just talking about the willingness to let old belief systems and paradigms go. Because what ends up happening with that is you actually get to know or get a glimpse of or a feeling of freedom. And it's a freedom that is far beyond what you start to feel this organic release or freedom from these old paradigms, which definitely, you know, they, Goldie and I have been talking about how we start sensing that, or this is 4 days ago, that we feel it, that it's increasing our field, or that our field is becoming more, I don't know, like a fabric rather than loose threads, or, you know, or
right, right,
something more right. palpable. And that is probably the presence, or is the presence of when you are in your authentic self, when, you know, and it's, what's really amazing about it is it's like it's got a momentum, because as you
very much so.
Feel, you start to feel this process and this breaking through and dropping beliefs, you start to feel this presence, and then, or you're in your field, and then there's this new sense of freedom. And, you know, one of the things I noticed about George, and I used this word today and I think yesterday, when there's a certain confidence that you start to have where it, and this is new for me, there's just this confidence. And, you know, Golden Hawk said something to me about my, you know, my ability to, you know, I don't know, inspire,
activate, inspire. There you go.
And I heard her, and I accepted it. I felt it, and I could feel. Then she used the word anchored, and that became anchored in me. And then when it became anchored in me, I felt this confidence in something that just felt as is. It wasn't inflated. It wasn't deflated. It was just anchored in me. And this has just been a, you know, we're speaking so current here, which is really fun, because I love speaking current, that we're talking
right
like in the last 48 hours. I mean,
right,
and then, you know, and down, and I love Down to the Wire too, because we're, you know, we're like an hour from going on radio, on the internet radio, and she goes, George, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm watching this, and I'm 40 minutes in, and she's in, like an hour in, and we're having, you know, and now, what's so beautiful, though, is it's completely integrated into what we've been experiencing. And,
right,
you know, it just works beautifully. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I think one of the key pieces, too, was when you were going through what you were going through, when I reminded you to just be in the present. Don't even
yes
go. Don't go
yes
anywhere.
Yes.
In the future,
yes,
don't go to results. Don't go, you know, don't go to what if. It was just,
right,
and that
right
was a game changer for you, because, you know, and
right
I'm
on
talking to myself
right
now, because the minute this morning, I was, you know, you've got, you know, paperwork, and you got these things, and the world, and these kinds of things that they invented, and I'm like, just do them. Courage, courage, courage. This is not about letting this affect my central nervous system. This is not about letting it affect, you know, my flow. And I could feel it leave. It was like, yeah, no big deal. You know, it was just no big deal. And that was up to me to notice it and just, what would you say, neutralize it. You know, and
well, in the noticing it, there's no resistance. Well, and it's not just noticing, in my humble opinion, it's noticing and accepting. The acceptance is... And it's such a huge piece, because we're trained not to accept, we're trained to, right, not accept what we don't like. You know, all you
right
have to do is listen to anybody. If you talk to anybody that's new age and or, you know, been awakened for a while, most people will tell you they're working on themselves. I mean, and it's so funny, because there's a paradox on the working on ourselves, because the working on ourselves, at least for me, is not about the improvement through bringing an outside light in, bringing an entity
yeah
in, whether it's galactic or angelic, you know, to bless me and make me right. The working
yeah
on myself is literally inviting all aspects of who I am, both dark and light. And what's so funny is there's an interesting line that is drawn, because what is dark is actually what is light, and what is light is actually dark. It's so interesting when we're conditioned to be upside down, everything is upside down when we start turning ourselves right back, right side up again.
Yeah.
But the key to it is, is the accepting of it, that the work to be done is the accepting that we've come here to do both, to be part of a polarized game. And it really is a game. And we're waking up from this game. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Well, I just wanted to say that when George, there's one word that kind of stops all chatter. When George goes, you're infinite. He goes, no beginning, no end, you're infinite. You're a universe, you're infinite. There's no beginning, there's no end. And I'm going, no, that will stop the chatter. That will stop the, oh, but I have to. You know, it's like.
Right, yeah. There's no
and
I
then,
have to.
No, and it's like this, I'm infinite. And I'm like, I'm infinite.
Yeah.
I'm infinite. I'm like, you know, it's just, if you just, I mean, that would be a fun kind of practice that when any of us go into our mind chatter or our, you know, worry nature or, you know, you just say, I'm infinite. I mean, because the comprehension of that, you know, is pretty amazing. And it really, there's nothing really beyond that except to remind yourself that you're infinite because.
Well, I'm just going to say it's not a word game.
No, but it's a concept.
You can say you're infinite. But you got to know you're infinite. You got to know it.
But it's an amazing, in our construct here, you know, it's the beginning place to at least remind yourself that you're infinite because, you know, if you can sort of say it to yourself, you know, you might just very well begin to, like, bring that into your field and go, whoa. You know, and you'll be.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I was almost going to say, okay, it's March 26th. Janine and Goldie will have their first disagreement
on the
air.
No, it's not the word infinite. It's the sensation or the knowing. But, you know, to
well,
even.
That is when it. That's the game changer. When you
the
know
knowing.
Yourself is.
Right.
Yeah,
but, it's a good sort of, like, you know, how I said to myself this morning, courage. Courage. And I really got it, you know, and then so I was like, when George said infinite, I was like, oh, that's such a great, you know, to bring that into myself and even start to sense that, you know. And you know, it's just amazing, too, was that when I had that dream about the sun, mm-hmm. and I start to go, hey, all the signs are here helping you, you know you're infinite. It's like,
so
go with it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, George saying it is another sign of getting to know that you're infinite, you know? It's
Yeah, but see, George does know he's infinite. I mean,
yeah, but when he's saying it to me, I'm saying, I mean, it's not like the first time I've heard that, but it is kind of, It's hitting me in a different way, I should say. But like, you know.
Yes. Now that's the point I want to bring out.
I'm getting
emphasize
it, you know.
why is it hitting you differently?
Yeah. Well, because of what, I mean, I have to say that when you told me that I know what you said to me. When people are in my field, they get activated. You know,
to know the subtle realm.
And it really, it was like George saying infinite. I really, you know, I got what you were saying so much so that it was anchored in me. I felt a shift in my field. And you
okay,
know,
now tell the Anne Marie story.
And that it was like cellular, you know, it's like, and okay, so the Anne Marie Evers story. So, she's got a radio show. She's out of British Columbia, Anne Marie Evers. And so my publicist called me and said, hey, can you fill in another author? Yes, it's good. Another author couldn't make it, and she's looking just to, you know, have someone do the interview on Saturday at noon her time, so it's like 3 or 3:15 my time. And I said, oh, yeah, sure, you know, because I'm quick on the fly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I didn't know is that, so that's a Saturday. So on Friday, Anne Marie Evers calls me, I guess just to say, okay, thanks for doing the show. Okay, what have you been up to? Because she had interviewed me 2 years ago in, you know, about my book, The Magic Gown. She goes, so what have you been up to since The Magic Gown? And I said, well, let's see. I do therapy, and, you know, I'm just finishing a book. It'll be out in September, and I work with people, and one of the things I love doing is helping them make initiation art. And,
yeah, you know, all those things.
It seems to be really wonderful. It's like the, you know, the inner and outer creative forces are all working together, and we're you self-initiate yourself, and it honors courage, and I think it amplifies our growth. And she's like, oh, well, tell me more. And I'm like, well, I'll give you, for instance, I have a great bluebird story. So, you know, I said, I could tell you tomorrow on the radio, because I didn't know she wanted to have a long conversation. And
right.
So she said, no, tell me now. So I don't know if I need to go into the whole bluebird story, but it just turned out that
Give the highlights.
I had a beautiful bluebird, seeing a bluebird in a field where I was running in July of last year. And it was so beautiful that I stopped and watched it and in nature. And then I went home and I Googled the bluebird image because I was going to send it to my son, who was kind of going through some things. And, you know, I just wanted to see the bluebird anyway again. And so I brought up this one image, and underneath the image was a quote by Anais Nin, who I happen to love. She's a French writer who I actually named Princess Anais after in my Magic Gown book. So she's long gone, but she was a courageous woman who lived outside the box. So anyway, this was the quote. It said, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And I thought, wow, that's really great. And great for me, and great for anyone else I shared it with. So I did. I shared it with a bunch of people, and, you know, big advocate of courage. So now I'm in my studio. It's August. It's a month later. And I get a phone message that this young woman who had come from Santa Fe into New York City for a few months to live, she wanted to work with me. She was a screenplay writer. And the amazing thing was her mother had been telling her to call me for 2 years because she thought I could help her with her creativity and her life in general. So, you know, she didn't know me at all. Her mom knew me and said, you should call her. But 2 years went by and she hadn't. So now I'm in my studio and I get a message that she did call me. So I call her right back. And I say, hey, I got your message. Great. You're in the city. Well, you know, come down. I'll pick you up at the train next week. So she said, okay. So just as I'm about to hang up, something, you know, out of my mouth, I don't think about it. I'm even surprised. I go, okay, so now that you've called me, I just want to tell you, make note of your dreams and pay attention to your dreams or any kind of ideas or ahas that come to you because we've already started working together. And she said, oh, she goes, that's funny because I had a dream last night and that's why I called you. And I go, great, don't tell me now. So tell me when you see me. So I pick her up the next week. I bring her to my therapy room. And I say, tell me the dream. She goes, well, I'm sitting in an amphitheater in, I think, Santa Fe. So I'm sitting next to a woman I don't know. And a flock of bluebirds flies over me. And one bluebird in particular comes right over my head and drops a feather from her body, into my hand. And once it lands in my hand, it turns into a flower. And I look at the woman next to me, and she says, you have the gift of vision. And she goes, and I just thought to call you. And I thought, and I said, that's amazing, because I have a bluebird story for you. So I tell her the quote. She loves the quote. It's perfect for her life, of course. And that was the beginning of our, you know, wonderful creative therapeutic relationship. And I tell her, okay, you have an incredible creative ally in the subtle realms. It's a bluebird. I do something called initiation art. If you would ever make that Bluebird, it would be wonderful. She jumped on the idea and she made the Bluebird, and it was great. So now
we're coming back to Anne Marie.
Yes.
You just told Anne Marie that story.
Yes, I tell Anne Marie this whole story, and she says, "Huh, that's amazing." She goes, "I just remembered 15 years ago." This is 15 years now, dormant. She goes, "I just remembered 15 years ago I had a dream, but it was more like a vision because it was so vivid." She said, "I was a hummingbird and I was flying over people and I could feel that I was affecting them, you know, in a positive way." And she said, "And it was such a moving, beautiful experience that I woke up feeling so exhilarated and with tears running down my face. And I went downstairs, and a family member who she really kind of was didn't have a great relationship with, in that they didn't know each other that well, but I guess she was living with this person because she needed a place to stay temporarily or something. She was so excited that she shared this vision with this person, and this person responded in a very like, 'Oh, that's just your ego. That wasn't real. You know what? You know, what's wrong with you?' kind of thing." And it
shot her down like a duck flying by.
Just completely shot her down. And one of the, you know, key things here was there was no confidence in her vision because she, you know, it just wasn't the time for that. So here, okay. So here, Anne Marie's talking to me, and this whole experience becomes alive in her again. She hadn't
activated, activated.
Completely activated. And she said, she was so remarkably inspired and surprised and delighted that this happened to her, that this became the beautiful sort of seed that you know, we delivered to the listeners the next day on the interview. And she was so moved. She said, "You know, something like that's never happened to me before." And so she wrote about it in her blog, and, you know, she told the listeners, "Wow, you know, talking to Janine did this to me. This is what she does in her work. You should call her." And it was really like, I was just in awe myself of like, "Oh, that's incredible. That's wonderful," you know? And then I tell Golden Walk, you know, the story. And then she says these.
And remember, I was calling while you were telling.
Oh, that was perfect. So I'm on the interview. I am literally doing the radio show, and it's in British Columbia. And so I'm talking about a bluebird and a hummingbird to Anne Marie Evers. And I hear my phone making that little sound that someone's trying to get me. And I'm going, "Oh, it's," and to myself, I'm going, "It's Golden Hawk."
And I was just, the Trinity needed a third bird.
I was just so like, you know, I was like, could this get any better? You know, we were talking. It was just really, really funny, and I'm smiling and laughing. And then the minute I get off the radio show, and Anne Marie Evers calls me because she really was deeply moved and surprised. And that's always kind of fun because,
awesome.
You know, yeah. So I call it Golden Hawk, and I tell her, you know, this wonderful story, and we're having the greatest time. And then, you know, it's the feeling of when something gets anchored, and, you know, I think it's even our gifts that we come with here, and, you know, you can have them, but it really is beneficial and important to your field and, you know, to yourself, and then obviously other people benefit, that they become anchored in you. And see, what I see in George and what I'm getting is, and I know you used this word like 3 weeks ago, but there is a confidence that occurs that it's not inflated, it's not deflated, it's just a knowing. And it's really as it should be, because why would we not want what we've come here with in terms of gifts anchored? Because that would seem, so I think that, you know, part of the conditioning is that you don't anchor your gifts. And I think that that's misinformation. I think that definitely the school systems do. You know,
Let's be honest, even the new age also conditions us not to anchor.
To be confident.
It has to be said.
Say it. No, and so what we're discovering, I mean, and what I love about it is it feels very, you know, scientific to me, is this field that,
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Because I want you to, in your clarity of what you're saying, because I have a clarity and I want to see, I know you have it, but I want to make sure you have it. Okay, so does it get anchored in the field because of, from affirmations, mm-hmm. meditations, or integration?
I would say integration, it's just, when do we integrate? Why do we integrate? I just think it's like timing. It's like all the synchronicities there, the cellular, the everything. You know, I'm saying it's an integration for myself.
And I agree.
Yeah, because the other kind.
Now, do me one favor, though. Define integration for the listeners, what we're talking about when we say integration.
Yeah, integration. To me it would be a timing of something that would be cellular, like a syncing. It's like a syncing, like, you know, how you would sync something, like a harmony that's why a synchronicity is a good word.
You're so creative. God bless you. Okay.
No, right, but it does feel like, there, you know, like, okay, so you know how, like, if you, a tumbler and a lock, it would be like all the combination is there, and it's in that moment that you integrate. Because, you know, you could have talked to me about, I could have had this experience a year ago, and it wouldn't have been set up as it just felt like it was set up this week. You know, there's something for me in the syncing of myself, S-Y-N-C, that it feels like the tumblers just sort of clicked in, you know, and you get it.
And, but pain has something to do with this, correct?
Well, years of pain.
That's the point I want, because it does it come by just saying the word?
No, because one thing, you know, tenacious, obstinate, what's the word, that irreverent, you know, you got to fight, you know, like fight the system, fight yourself, break the old paradigms, take the risks, you know, be in pain, you know, feel, you know, confront the alone thing, you know, which is a really big one, you know, alone, you know, that's a good one.
Unworthiness.
All those things that put us at the lowest of the lowest of the low, where we're like, I'm not going to make it, you know. And the thing is, yes, you are, you know. And tenacity is, you know, one of the, you know, my strengths. And, I tell you that story of when I was four. I've said to you guys that, you know, my parents walked me across the street holding my hand, and I ran back and said, I'm doing it myself. And I almost got run over by a car, but that wasn't the point. The point was, I was a tenacious little thing.
Yeah, but listen, you left your husband.
Oh, I mean, that.
You know, we can get a little more current than four. No offense, but you have told us that story.
But I showed the sign.
Well, I just want people to know that it's ironic, but, you know, listen, it needs to be said, as George Kavassalis says it.
Yeah.
You get the confidence by dealing with your own shit. And
when I say shit, meaning
the relationships that are based on fear and toxicity and codependency and all the stuff that makes us...
The truth is...
Not really in sync.
One of the reasons I became a nurse in my early 20s was I wanted responsibility. I wanted to know what it was like to be to have a lot of responsibility that was pretty heavy duty. And I found it in the city hospital in Philadelphia at night in charge at like 22, 23. And I wanted that, though. You know, so, yes, did I invite in some things that I had to deal with, like, you know, a marriage that I left that was very painful, that was really, you know, awful to leave. I was scared. I was in pain. I had two children. But, you know, there's this, well, you know, honestly, I think that we're much more amazing than we ever give ourselves credit for in terms of what we can handle. And, you know, and I have to say, George, when he says about freedom, I mean, when you start to, because really what ends up happening is, because I confronted like all my internal fears, you know, over a period of years in therapy and stuff. And, you know, you almost felt like, if I confront this, I'm not going to make it. It's over for me. And you know what would happen? I would confront it. I would confront it and literally look down at my body and go, I'm still here. I'm like, wow, that didn't kill me. And it didn't, you know? And it was like, because you almost felt like it would. And so there's this, that once the, you know, it's almost like those chains start to fall off you of what you thought you could not handle. And when you do,
it no longer tethers you.
No, it's like, what was I thinking?
Well, I mean, I can understand the fear of being alone. I mean, because all you have to do is look at the conditioning to realize nothing artificial supports us. Everything organic supports us to be alone, because you're never alone. Organically, once you're connected, you recognize you're one with the plants, you're one with the planet, you're one with the animals, the earth, the weather. It's so funny how the conditioning keeps us tethered to a limited perspective.
Yeah.
Having the courage and the strength and the tenacity, and for me, my word is perseverance.
Yeah.
I'm just a pain in the ass that won't go away.
To yourself,
and that's
great.
To my own being, it's like you cannot quit, Goldie. I won't settle for mediocre. And ironically, I've dipped into the depths of my own hell, because when you do dip into your own hell consciously, that's what begets it, is confidence. You have confidence when you choose to look at your own hell and then work your way through it. Because no one can take that from you.
And there is a lot of self-respect about that too, you know. And I noticed that George said in his darkest 2003 moment is when he truly, you know, he sort of, you know, got in touch with his galactic family. And, you know, I know he was through many difficult times and dark times too, but, you know, I just think that I wouldn't be here with, you know, what I'm feeling now unless I went through those myself. And, you know,
Now that I can relate to. When you were saying earlier, you know, just bring up the words, you're eternal. I couldn't even.
No,
I needed
infinite,
you to explain.
Infinite.
I need the listeners to know how you got there, because that's really, really important. So the words matter.
Strength that, you know, is within me that, you know, I handled lots of things. And, you know, that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm really grateful.
Well, you said it. When you were looking down on your body.
Yeah.
During the really dark times.
Yeah.
What part of you do you think was looking down?
I know.
The eternal part. The infinite part.
Yeah, but you know what I wanted to tell everybody? Because, you know, this is, you know, I have to say that I told Goldie this the other day, I think yesterday. But, you know, I still am so touched and smiled about the fact that the name of the show is the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Because there's something so beautiful about that, and so really correct about how that happened for you and me. And when I was a teenager, and, you know, we had some tragedy in my life with my father in an accident. It was really bad, you know, brain damage on welfare, and it was tough. And but I have to say that I wrote poetry inspired by nature that came from a place that must have been that person that looked down and goes, "You're still here," the infinite person. Mm-hmm. And nature is, you know, it still can put me speechless or silent. You know, it's just, it is an aspect that, you know, I say that to be able to be on the Mystical Mother Earth show is just so beautiful and perfect, because all my life that has been such an incredible support for me and true love, you know.
Me too.
I also want to say that it's recent, I would say in the last year, and when I heard George say that the sun was a consciousness, I have really fallen in love with the sun now, too.
Right on, babe. We don't need sunblock. That's the last thing we need out there.
No sunblock. The sun has such good, you know, the sun just has had such, like I've told Goldie, I have such an affection for it. And that's kind of new for me. You know, it's very Mother Earth, but the sun in the last, well, since I heard George say that it's a consciousness, I really, once again, like that sink thing where you become integrated, I got it. I felt it. It was, you know, I was like, that's it.
Well, you know, it's so, the twin flame of the earth. The being is actually the twin flame to the earth.
Yeah.
Which really, that by being in sync with the sun, really tells you that it's a level of being in sync with, it's the masculine. The earth is the feminine, the sun is the masculine. So you're in sync with your own template of the divine masculine and the divine feminine.
Yeah.
That's another place where confidence comes from.
Right. Right. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing.
Well, I wanted you to share, because I also have a story, you haven't heard the story yet, about the working in the field working. And, you know, I love letting you talk first, because, see, you know, just so everybody else knows out there, Janine, you're incredible. You are. You're amazingly aware. And it's an honor and a pleasure to play with you and work with you and talk with you. And
thank you.
Because you have a lot more humility than I do. when I have these moments, I absolutely have to check my ego, because I get cocky from them. And, you know, it's just who I am. So, I'm going to be as humble. I'm going to try to be as humble as Janine was in my field story.
Okay.
Because one thing I've noticed with us is Janine and I, we activate each other. And it's really amazing, because it's becoming to the point where energetically we're experiencing things. If she experiences it cellularly, I'm also experiencing it. And can I explain it? No. But is it based on a connection of our, we're in sync. We're in sync in our own beings, and then we go into another level of community in sync. And I can't explain it, but I see it happen. Because what night was it? Thursday night, I had told a girlfriend of mine last week that I would take her daughter to a burger place that had this band playing. And the band was a cover band for the Grateful Dead, which, you would think as a hippie I would, you know, I would jump at the chance, but I've actually never been a Grateful Dead fan. But her daughter is, she's got autism, and I just have an affinity for her. I really love Leanne, and I wanted to take her to this, because she had called other people, everybody else had said no, and I was like, oh, I love Leanne, sure, I'll take her. And I did my best to try and get another friend of mine who I know likes the band to come, but that fell through. So Friday, we were supposed to go Saturday night. Friday night, I call my girlfriend up, and I tell her, I can't take your daughter. I am freaking out. I have anxiety about this. You know, I didn't mind taking her, but I had trouble contemplating myself being in public, not knowing anybody. I'm just going through a time right now where I can't do the social thing. I'm not natural right now in social experiences. And as my friends all know, I had a birthday party where I knew everybody at my party, and I basically had an anxiety attack. I mean, so it's just something I'm going through, and I needed to own up to it. That was what I knew. It was like, do not tell Leanne, last minute you can't go. You know now. Tell her now. Just be honest with her. So I basically told her mom. And both Leanne and her mother were incredibly generous with their understanding for me. Incredibly generous. They both made me feel okay about it, and they were complimenting me on me being authentic. And when you start going down, in my humble opinion, when you start gathering friends who are actually doing the work, I mean, they're doing the integrational work, which is, taking in the darkness and integrating it back into your being. There's an understanding that it's hard to put on a pretty face, when inside there's just stuff moving and shaking and integrating. So Sunday, I talked to her mom, and she goes, I want to thank you. And I'm like, for what? And she goes, well, when you canceled, first I'll tell you that when you canceled, a friend of Leanne's, Amanda, ended up, they called her, and Amanda said she would go with her, and they went, and they had a great time, and they made plans that now they're both going to do some work. Amanda also has some sort of disability. I don't know what it is. I don't know if she's autistic or she's something. They went together on Saturday, they're actually going to now start doing a thing with horseback riding on Thursday where they're both going to join, and Leanne has been wanting to have this relationship with her. Now here's what makes it, now that in and of itself, okay, oh, how awesome. See, but here's the interesting part. The night I was talking to Leanne's mom, we talked for about 35 minutes about this girl, Amanda, and how Leanne has been trying to become friends with her, but she recludes. She's in her own space. Her mom wasn't supporting her. Without Amanda's mom going, listen, you need to make phone calls, you got to return phone calls, kind of helping guide the daughter, how to keep friends, because her makeup is, and boy, I know this from Scott, they're just not social animals. So, if you don't encourage it, it doesn't seem to happen naturally. And we spoke about this for like 35 minutes about Amanda, and I'm going, all right, well, I was just basically, we weren't talking about Amanda going on Saturday night, just how this girl Amanda, who Leanne wanted to be friends with, wasn't available anymore, and Leanne had basically washed her hands going, I've called several times, I email, I text, she's not responding, mm-hmm. And I went, okay, if someone doesn't respond, you have to let go, because right. You can't have a relationship one-sided. Anyway, you let go. But when her mom told me Sunday that they went and now this whole new thing, I just couldn't help but say, oh, and our field has nothing to do with that? I mean, we just spent 35 minutes and not discussing it from a judgment point of view, just bringing it into an awareness. And then it all shifted. I went, oh, my God. And again, see, I tend to get a little cocky. Goldie has saved the day for Leanne. And it was not me saving the day for Leanne, but I absolutely feel that discussion that me and her mom had something to do with a shift in whatever it was between Leanne and Amanda. And there was a shift. I mean, I can't explain it. I really can't. And because when me and Janine had the conversation about the field and being anchored in it and our ability to affect life in the field, it wasn't just me telling that to Janine. Janine tells that to me. So it's like we're both living this this truth, and then you start seeing life show up where it shows you that.
Yeah.
You know, in ways that are just like, are you kidding me? I've never met this woman before, but I know we spoke about it. I know she was filtered through my experience the night we talked. You know, and that's...
Yeah.
I just believe this is the way it works. That's how powerful... You don't even have to meet people. You can just talk about people, and it can shift their lives. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is that syncing up, you know, like... And
yeah.
You can't explain it, or we don't, you know, need to, but we certainly are experiencing it and feeling it.
Yeah.
You know? And...
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and I didn't know that story, so that was good.
I didn't tell you that story. Right, I was saving it for the show.
That was really good.
Yeah, I got to surprise you every now and then.
That was really good.
I was like, yeah, Janine will tell her Anne-Marie's story, and then I'll tell the Amanda story.
Yeah.
Well, and again, I just think that, you know, that is definitely the energy that we're living in right now. The energy we are living in right now is... It's like, it's superfluous, but it can't be mind controlled. It is smarter than mind control. Infinitely smarter, infinitely wiser than mind control.
Because I think it shuts down when you put it through your mind. There's nothing faking or forcing organic.
Exactly.
It occurs, it is... you know, and so, you know it when it's a present, you feel it, and, you know, it's been amazing, really. I loved, you know, you even said that since we started the show, and I agree that we both feel a sort of a sinking, S-Y-N-C.
Absolutely.
You know.
And an acceleration in my own journey.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally. I mean, and it's definite.
Everybody
should have a Janine in their life. I'm telling you, I'll share my Janine. She's available. So I'm telling you, because when you have a partner that is in tune to the subtle, it's so important to be in tune to the subtle, because it is the subtle realm that is becoming, it's not that it's becoming blunt, but it's becoming like, the opportunity to be more aware of the subtle realm, and the subtle realm is really, I guess, ultimately, it goes beyond the mental body and the emotional body, the mental body and emotional body are subsets of the subtle realms, but because it's almost like in the subtle realm, that's where the neutrality and the understanding of the bigger picture comes in. It really is. And an understanding not necessarily of how it works mechanically, but an understanding that, because I really believe I was authentic to Leanne. You know, I just told her my truth.
You were. I have this wonderful friend, Neve, who has often explained that you were full-hearted also and authentic.
Yes.
in that, by not going, you were more full-hearted than if you had gone, you would have been half-hearted. And why there was such a beautiful sinking there for her and this friend Amanda was because it was much more authentic, not only to you, but to her. And so that's the chemistry. You know, and so...
Brilliant,
right?
That is just
right.
Brilliant.
But you know what I was thinking? That when you're talking about, like, what gets revealed to me about the subtle realm, I was going, you know, it's funny how the language of truth is actually that. I mean, to me, that's like, like, it's not something you learn in a book. It's this knowing, but it reveals itself to you that I'm even going, oh, like it's instant. It's not like I'm looking for it. It's not like I've studied for it. It's like, you know, I just hear something and I go, and it just like, it show. I don't know. But to me, that's probably what truth is. It's just,
So I agree.
Which
that's why speaking the truth. Well, it's not just speaking the truth. You know, I've got Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men.
Oh yeah,
you can't handle the truth. You know,
right?
But there's so much truth to, if you can't handle the truth, you know. The truth is, it will be denied. It meaning you won't experience the whole truth if you can't handle the whole truth. I mean,
right?
Because and nobody's a determiner of that except self. Self is the only determiner to whether you get the full blown truth or you get partial truth. And
right,
that's the
right.
truth. But, oh my! I sound like Betty Boop.
You know, it's so, you know, like for instance, the way that, you know, I guess my understanding, when you told me that dream that you had, I saw that, you know, as the release of the old paradigm, or, you know, and I do think that the dreams are, they speak to us in those kinds of languages or symbols.
I agree.
And
archetypical.
And archetypal energies or forces or and it's like that's a language, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I
share the dream. Share the dream or
your
one
dream.
Of us.
Okay,
I'll share it. I just want it to be
shared.
It. I don't.
You tell it. When was
okay.
it? Was it last night?
It was. Well, it was yesterday during the day.
It was yesterday during the day. Yeah.
So I basically dreamed that a snake, a black and red snake. Which I knew as soon as I saw it, it was a very, what did you call it? What kind of snake is it?
It was a coral snake, which is poisonous.
Highly poisonous snake.
Yeah.
I saw this coral snake come out of my left shoulder. It dropped to the ground and it kind of slithered. And then I was in my father's house and it slithered into the linen closet and my cat, Dakini, was in there and she ate it.
Yeah,
and it was interesting because, you know, I wasn't afraid that the snake came out of me, and you know, I've had other dreams where things, you know, I've had worms come out of me, spiders come out of me, you know, and it kind of freaks me out. This time I wasn't afraid of it. I was just noticing it. What I got frightened by was that Dakini ate the snake, and I was like, Dakini, you know, are you okay? You know how, you know, you might get poisoned by the snake. And when I discussed it with Janine earlier today, Janine just brings such wisdom to everything. You know, animals know inherently what they can eat and what they can't eat. She really is. Dakini is absolutely, as all pets are, they're like vacuum cleaners to our crap, the stuff we release. They really do, just like Earth and just like the plants, you know, taking our CO2, part of Dakini's, just the nature of all the animals, especially the pets, is she recycles my shit.
or neutralizes it.
Or outdated, old belief systems.
Yeah,
and
that's what I thought
know,
it was.
It totally resonated.
Yeah, like a distinct releasing on a very deep level of, like, you chose to handle something differently, and it was great, and I felt that as if something old was released in you, and then the natural.
Well, and it was interesting when it came in too, right? Because, well, you know, I'm going to stop being cryptic. Okay, so the thing that I did differently in my relationship with Scott that I was speaking of earlier is I decided to say no to sex. I don't normally say no, and it's not that Scott's knocking my door down on a daily basis by any stretch, but I don't normally say no. So night one, I say no, and you could tell Scott was like surprised, like, whoa. I go to sleep, and I got a bad feeling in my stomach, you know, just like, oh, boy, I've really opened, you know, it's almost like I opened a can of worms, you know, this. It was like, I'm standing by my, yeah, I know, Candace, I'm standing by my choice, but I really realized it was like, shit, this is going to create, you know, some turbulence in my relationship.
Right.
And the following night, I basically say to Scott, are you coming to bed? And he goes, oh, I tried that last night. It didn't work. You know, and that's when you go, okay, this would be the repercussions of me introducing this new being. And the second night, I didn't hear, I was like, well, you know, what the hell, man? And I left the house in a tizzy, ended up coming back because intuitively I just knew this was not the kind of thing, I'm loving your faces that you're putting up, this is not the kind of thing I can go home. In other words, I introduced this turbulence, and it was really important for me to ride it out with Scott. That, mm-hmm. I knew that because it wasn't, there are times when Scott gets mad at me for whatever the reason he gets mad at me, and if I don't find any logic or any kind of reasoning to it, I let him sit with his own anger. It's like, you're not going to have me to shoot your anger into. Deal with your own anger. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But this was mine, and I owned it. So I turned around. I came back. I basically told him, you know, I'm not here. You know, you don't have to touch me. I'm just going to bed. So that was the second night of feeling, you know, the same anxiety I felt the night before, even though, again, it was now it was because Scott was upset. He was visually showing me and physically showing me he was upset about what I had done the night before. Now, the dream came on the following day. I basically, I had to work Saturday night. I go back to Scott's house. I fall asleep in the middle of the day. Goldie taking a nap, say it isn't so. I nap during the day, and while I was sleeping, Scott came into the bedroom and basically made love. You know, I went right from being asleep to him, waking up to him, you know, touching me in beautiful ways and caressing me, and it was truly magical, and it had nothing to do with me being a head case about sex because I was sleeping. You know, I wasn't looking to manipulate it. I was completely letting go of control of it because that was my goal. The whole 2 days I was going through it, I kept saying to myself, this is about letting go of control from sex. I don't want sex to be the, you know, something that I'm out of control of, and so I demand it. Scott has to give it to me. It's just, that's icky stuff. And I'll tell you, when I posted those subliminal messages, I didn't realize, but the divine feminine is being manipulated through sex.
Yeah, and you know what's so interesting? Because as you're talking, I'm going, oh, isn't it interesting, too, that the serpent and, you know, the whole Garden of Eden and all that stuff was always, like, depicted with sex, and maybe this was the release of the negative connotation or something to do. I don't know. That would be better for you to say. But it was like, oh, maybe there's some healthy kundalini sexuality, beautiful, deep, you know, feminine, you know, not the negative or the whole, you know, the whole enculturization thing. You know, who knows? But it just feels to me like, oh,
right.
There it is again, you know?
And, well, I had let go of control because, you know, I'll be very blunt with you guys. I have decided internally that if I am wanting sex from Scott, that I'm not going to get it from Scott. I'm purposely not going to get it. I'm going to go to the woods. I'm going to masturbate. I'm going to first release that desire to have sex with him, because it's such an interesting thing when it comes from a much more neutral space.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
know,
that
because,
is the deep feminine. The deep
right.
feminine is
and
open
and
self-sufficient.
And attracting it, not commanding it.
Right, right. Completely.
See, now that's a huge thing for me to be experiencing.
Huge.
Huge, because I am very much coming out of the mental. Yeah, and it was like, so the dream of the snake came after we made love. We both fell back to sleep, and that's when I had the dream of the snake.
Mm. Isn't that amazing? Now I'm back to being amazed and surprised.
Yeah, so and
that's
so
amazing.
This is what I mean by, and the pain really paid off. There was never a point in the pain that my story was, you know, Scott's not having sex with me because I'm unlovable or I'm not pretty.
Right.
Because remember, I was the one who said no. It was, I just, because he came to bed and he's like, okay, I'm ready. And I went, no, I'm tired. Let's do this, you know. And I said to him, I go, let's do this tomorrow. I mean, I just wanted to exercise my independence, so to speak, for one day, you know. And then, of course, tomorrow turned into, well, he's exercising his independence.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, and then you go, okay, and that's when I started realizing clearly it was like, okay, because see, this is a game of power.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my experiences of sex, which has got to be about power. It's going to be about a love, and a love that is so innocent and beautiful to the point that
sync.
I don't even need
that
it
word
from
again,
him.
Sync, like you're in sync with each other. It's not about, you know, something artificial or, you know, a demand or, you know, it's falling into place even now more so than before, where I'm really like those, you know, when like the saying, those tumblers fall into place and it's like click, 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 click. It's
yes.
Like, you know, I'm even getting more of your story now.
Well, we have an audience that, you know, now there's group consciousness working here, you know,
yeah.
And we've got, you know, Simon and Dennis and I don't know how to pronounce Ayala?
Ayala?
I mean, we have some
Ayala.
Really, you know, everybody here has, you're not attracted to the show unless you're expanding and doing the integration. I mean, I don't say that from an ego point of view. I just know you're not going to be interested in what I have to say if you're not going through it. And if you're going through it, you're going to be very interested because we want to know how this works. We want to know why is it that it's so easy to, you know, I remember asking myself, I don't know, like 5-7 years ago, why is it most of the stuff in front of me is my own crap? You know, like, why am I not experiencing, you know, feelings of bliss? And by the way, this hit me when George was talking. It's very... You're so stupid.
You better stop me. I'm getting way too into these smiley faces.
You're so cute, babe. It's very important for me to say this, though. Bliss, my friends, is the energetic heroine. It is... We should not be seeking bliss. Bliss is the state of being where you're just so... You're high on a non-clarity. It's like your body is going through a sensation that's artificial, and it makes you just not care about anything else going on around you. I believe the state we're really looking for is grace. Because
I love that
grace
one.
Is a wisdom, and it's the, put it this way, bliss, artificial, grace, organic. I mean, and you know, and I know that, you know, a lot of the love and lighters and the new agers, oh, bliss, 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 bliss. Sorry, guys. Bliss, it's just another, it's the energetic level of heroin, which we know, oh, yes, does it get you out of this reality? Absolutely. But it also leaves scars and scabs and, you know, ultimately, it's an addiction. It's not the expansion you think it is.
Well, it's
great.
Probably a huge gush of dopamine. you know
right.
How much
whatever it is, exactly.
Those neurotransmitters.
You know, right, it's in the head.
Uh-huh.
It's in the head. It's not
it's
a full-body experience.
It's the central nervous system.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
So it is full-body, but it...
Gosh.
I just know when George was talking about that today, he goes, I wasn't in bliss. And I'm like, right on, George. You know, and, you know, again, if you need to go through bliss, hey, right on. If that's your timeline,
me,
I want the organic, you know. I'm not doing this work for no reason. I'm doing it to get, you know.
Well, you know, it's just a little detail that when he said that on the today when I was watching it, and he said grace, and I went, oh, there it is. And I in this new book for children that is coming out in September that I wrote, there's a waterfall that was created by this adorable hero, which is a jackrabbit. He's a rabbit.
Okay.
But I named it Grace Waterfall, and I was like, oh, I was really happy that, you know, I was in sync with what George was saying, and that And this was, I named this waterfall 2 years ago, but it just felt really nice. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I named the waterfall Grace, because really that's what this little jackrabbit had. He was great. Right. He was just full of grace. And he was the most unlikely character to be full of grace, because he was a thief.
But love it. You're so get it.
But he stole everybody's heart.
No, it's because you know what? The action is.
Yeah.
Eckhart Tolle says, what we do is mm-hmm. secondary. Primary, who are we being?
Yeah. Yeah. And this
and
guy
listen,
is.
I get
the real deal. He's the real deal.
Yeah.
He definitely is in second gear.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. Permanently. Shit, I think he's in first gear. Yes, Eckhart Tolle is definitely one present man. Present being. You know, he's he's amazing. So, but indeed, it really, cuz you know, that's the whole polarized thing about, the love and lighters, it really is just another, it's a sophisticated religion. Because I can remember, I was listening to some old channelings from like 2007 and 2008, when Crimson Circle was telling Chambra, think a bad thought. And I remember, like when I first got introduced to the Abraham Hicks work. See, Simon Stell. Right on, Simon. When I first got introduced to the Abraham Hicks work, it became a mental thing where it's like, don't think negative. It's going to bring a negative experience. Got to think positive. And I'll tell you, that's a deceptive paradigm. What the hell is that? It's a thief.
It's a
happy face thing, or it's a ninja.
I thought it was a ninja.
No, you're right. It's a ninja. Sorry. Oh, we are being silly tonight. Right on, guys. Right
I'm
on.
Having fun.
No, have fun. Shit. We just talked about Goldie's sex life on the air. See, I can only do this because I'm doing the show from home. Scott doesn't care.
Plus,
no,
last
Scott doesn't
week
care
we did the end of the world show.
Yes, this is a little happier than that. That is very true.
Oh, it's good. We're full of grace.
It's all good. It's amazing, actually. Because
I'll tell you, right?
Yeah, what's available right now is just, it's amazing what's available.
I think that's the truth. I think that's actually a big part of this, that being in sync is wonderful, because right now there is something available for sure.
And it's bigger than any of us know. It's just like this unfolding of how big it is. I mean, Simon, I know you know what we're talking about, because Simon is also going through major changes. And it's in clarity. It's in the changes we're all going through that are experiencing the sync. Mm-hmm. Our inside, how we feel on the inside, what triggers us, what motivates us, what inspires us, inside. This has nothing to do with whether we have a job, whether our bills are paid. None of that is what I'm talking about.
No.
It's the inside work. I know I've been out of work for the last 11 months. I'm on the edge of being hired. Tomorrow, Kelly will get the call from the company she went to interview today. So I'll know tomorrow if, I have a full-time, or not full-time job, but, a permanent job. And, I'm really hoping. But, I have learned that in the last 11 months being out of work, essentially, I still had, a couple of nanny gigs, once a week. I have learned what it means to, how do you define yourself? Because I would ask myself the question, how do I define myself when I can't pay rent, when I don't have money? There's a vulnerability. And here's the amazing part that kind of comes in on the flip side of that vulnerability. is Scott and my dad, mm-hmm. just unbelievably compassionate and supportive of my situation. You know, they came through. I mean, my father significantly lowered the rent to, at point in times he was like, you don't have to pay rent this month. But I always, if I had some money, I was like, no, I have some money. I want to give you some money, because for me, it felt there was an integrity. Not, you know, he said, no, it's like, no, but I have some. So let me give
right.
you some. Because there's something about always paying, you know, keep some kind of flow going. And it's also, you know, it becomes this whole, my whole way of being in today's living is literally, how far can I push the envelope of trust?
Yeah.
Because I intuitively know if I push it to impossible, impossible will work.
Yeah.
I know that, but I have to live on the edge of impossibility. I can't talk these words if I genuinely want to find out if impossible will work. I have to live impossibly. Does that make sense? I mean, like...
Yes. Yes. I mean, I'm doing the same thing where, you know, it is walking your talk. It is. And also for me, there's a, no matter what it is, there's a movement. You know, like you keep things moving by, you know, whether it's not, you're not giving a lot of money, but you're giving some money. It's the same thing
right.
for me that
right.
I keep, there's something about, and, you know, once again, this isn't a thinking process. This is just something that I feel works for me in my process that has a broader truth than just being practical. There's something
okay.
about the movement of things, you know,
yes.
that I keep,
yes.
that I don't encourage stagnation in my life by, you know,
right.
by whether I just do something incrementally or small, they all have meaning to me, you know.
Yeah.
It's far greater than, gee, that was a good idea, Janine. It, you know, it's more about a flow or a movement that, you know, that I
yeah,
expect.
Well, it's like when I got on board to do this psychic calling, the psychic
right.
hotline. That cost me $150 to do. You know,
right.
I had to pay a membership fee. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that's going to be a little bit of money. But I was like, well, but this is what's showing up right now. This is what
that's
your
right.
nannying was not showing up. And Psychic Hotline was. And so okay. You know, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, though, I've always loved pushing the envelope,
mm-hmm.
you know, and kind of looking around going, told you I could do it. but what's so funny is I used to do that only inspired by someone who said I couldn't do it, where
yeah.
I
now you're doing it almost for yourself.
It is no longer about the world
yeah.
telling me it
yeah.
can't be done.
Yeah.
Because I've far surpassed what the world says.
This is
my level of the impossible, living the impossible dream. That's my standard for myself. Because, see, and I just know intuitively it can be done. I just know it can be. I don't necessarily know how, even though, like I said, I'm learning. Part of the steps are integration, letting go of control. You know, I mean,
and dropping those parameters. Yeah, you know, the
limitations.
Right.
Yes.
I'm doing that, too. Even if it's small, it matters. You know,
yes.
it doesn't have to be those, you know, it can be big acts of courage and giant things, but I like the small things too. I think that, you know, those little, you know, like you just said with your dad and, you know, I can't pay you all, but I'll pay you a little. There's something
yeah.
about that means something to me, you know.
Yeah, me too.
That gets overlooked a lot by people.
Well, I think because most people, and I don't think they do it on purpose. I think in fear...
Yeah.
There's no trust. And if there's no trust, you can't live the impossible dream without trust. Because your belief system won't let you go to live it.
Yeah.
You know, in order...
Yeah.
No, go ahead. What's funny?
No, well, because when I spoke to Anne-Marie Evers,
mm-hmm.
what inevitably came up for me in talking to her was that when she had that hummingbird vision dream 15 years ago, her trust mm-hmm. nature was not developed or intact. But because if it was, she would it, her, someone
it wouldn't
else,
matter what the what
it
the
wouldn't
person
matter
said.
Someone else said. And I said to her, well, right. yeah, now you're in right timing with your trust, because it just wouldn't have happened if there wasn't the trust there. So it came. And interacting with me was just this nice activation, you know. But
right
the
on,
trust,
right
yeah.
On.
But the trust was there for her, or it couldn't have come up for her. So you know, there was, you know, this is the kind
oh,
of stuff.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's why it got activated now, because
yes.
her trust is there. Right
yeah.
on. Yeah.
yeah. And then, yeah. you know, I just played a nice part in it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, but indeed, but it, that's where this community takes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I understand community.
Or the chemistry, or the, you know, like it takes two, or the alchemy.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
the alchemy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because
yeah.
I definitely believe my acceleration, I don't believe, I know. I know my acceleration has to do with you being in my life to the level and the degree that you are. And,
right.
you know, that, because I'm telling you, I've been saying for a long time, I don't need anybody else. I'm going to get there on my own. Because most of the people at the time when I was saying that really weren't supporting what I, you know, I would be talking to them about my awareness, and they'd be going, scratching their head going, huh? You know, what are you talking about? Like, you know, stop being so selfish. It's like, oh, all right, never mind. You don't get it. Never mind.
yeah,
I don't need you.
Yeah.
I don't need you. And definitely something has shifted, because it's not just, I mean, it's you. I mean, it's Simon. I really do have a lot of people in my field. Susan, Dennis, I mean, many of you guys that, you know, like, whoa, like now it's, you know, it's significant. You know, like I do have people I can share it with, and I am sharing it with, and I am triggered by in the activation
yep.
anchoring level. You know, because this is what's here for us. I mean, this
yeah.
is genuinely what's here for us. You know, you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. I feel very blessed. You know, I'm understanding now. You know, another level of the expansion, and that's
you know,
okay.
I'm
in my book.
So curious to get to the George part where. Because I think in my, just in this new, you know, this new place it feels of receptivity maybe or something, I'm very curious to see his explanation of the ascension, because it's almost like I feel like I'm going to hear it with new ears or something, you know, so.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I'm you know, obviously everybody knows I'll be listening after the show to George.
Yeah, I just posted, the link I just posted is the talk me and Janine are talking about from at the beginning of
oh,
the show.
Oh, good, yeah.
So, yeah, I was like,
so,
maybe I should post that.
Yeah, so I'm real curious and excited to hear.
Yeah, just so you guys know, me and Janine almost canceled the show tonight to continue listening to the George talk. Sorry, tonight's show has been canceled. George has better things to say than we do.
But I'm glad we're on, aren't you?
Oh, of course. So, and, you know, the truth is we did have a lot to share tonight. I mean,
yeah, good story.
You know,
you know,
lot has been going on, and but, you know.
What?
I don't know. I just kind of dropped off on a train of thought. Got it, Simon. I wish you gotta get Skype. You gotta call in. Wouldn't you love to hear Simon's point of view?
Yeah,
I would love to hear Simon's point of view.
He could type it.
Well, you could type it, but he had, and you even have
no,
Skype.
No, I would.
Simon.
I would.
We accept Skype here. You know, I just would love to have him share. Thank you, Dennis. Dennis had a wonderful show.
Thank you, Dennis.
Dream yeah, after. Yeah. I just because you know these are the kind of you know aha moments you want to share with family. So, but actually, I'm opening up the you know the phone lines are open to anybody. Ayala, how do you, I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Ayala,
our friend
Ayala.
I would love to hear from you too. I've been reading her posts and she shares a lot about the intricacies. Of the Kabbalah.
Oh, yeah.
From a Yeah, from a, I get the integration of it. I want you guys to call in. Here, well,
now,
I'll say
I'm
the number.
I'm wondering if she's in Israel.
Well, she is in Israel, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah,
she's sending us a heart. That's
yeah.
Nice.
We love you, sweetheart. We just want to hear you. 646-929-2084. We have two guests in here as well. I don't know who you guys are, but, you know, call in if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got some time and...
Yeah,
right on, sweetie. Exactly. Once we get this down, the integration is no longer taking in our own pain is not suffering. That is. I was going to call in. Okay. All right. Hey, we're here. I can't emphasize that enough. It is not the same. I have been through painful experiences with Scott. I mean, you know, at other different times in our relationship. And when you have the story around your pain, it is much different. The pain is experienced. There really is a difference between when you have story around your pain, you suffer. When you have consciousness and presence around pain, it's ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had this understanding of, like, why people kind of do the S&M thing. And, you know, I just had an understanding of it. I'm not going into it. But meaning, because the pain I was feeling those 2 days, I really felt that I just knew I was empowered by that pain. I was not disempowered by it. And, you know, if we can really come to the space where we can accept our own shadow side, that integration, you know, is the ticket, you know, to be done with with this dimension and this paradigm, you know, the paradigm of mind control and, you know, other species running the show and, you know, contaminating our food and our subliminal media and, you know, all of it, all of that comes to a close when you integrate the effects that had on you. That's as simple, it really is that simple.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and listen, I'm going to do my integration, you know, and when next year comes and whatever is going to happen happens, I will see everybody in the fifth dimension. Anybody else who's going anywhere else, enjoy your ride, you know. I'll catch up with you in another 26,000 years.
Which is the ascension, what George says and you're saying is that is the ascension, right?
Well, that's the organic ascension, correct?
Right.
The integration is the organic, it's where Mother Earth is going to birth us into beings of light that don't eat food, you know. Oh, there she's on!
Oh, good.
Hello! Hey!
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I took your
advice. I can be a little overwhelming. Talk to Janine. I'm a little overwhelming. Go ahead.
No, you're not. Don't leave me now.
No, I'm not leaving. I just don't want to overwhelm her.
I totally love you guys. It's just an honor to be on the air with you, even if it's overwhelming.
Oh, thank you.
Right on. Thank
We're
you.
We're so happy
thank you
called.
Love you as well. Totally. So share your beautiful essence. I know your story I know you got some juice in your story. How do you pronounce your name, first of all?
Ayala.
Ayala. Okay.
Janine had it. Okay, right on.
Yeah, well, I mean, truthfully, I don't know if I ever told on Facebook or, but this show was really like pivotal in my awakening process. I've sort of been like on the Jewish path for intensely for the last like 6 years or so, and then kind of around last summer, like July of 2011, things just like really started to shift, like to a point that I couldn't bear anymore, like, being in the third dimension. I had to sort of, like, move things forward.
Right on.
And, you know, like, it all happens to us, like, on different realms, like, you know, the structures we decide to stay in or leave. But for me, like, one dimension where it really happened was, like, with my own religion. And it's like I was just forced to sort of go into the inner dimension of all of these things that I had been doing pretty intensely and devoutly for so long. But it was just like this calling from within, and I didn't know what to do with it because I had very few connections, like, in my Jewish realm that I could reach out to. But I was so sort of fearful inside of reaching out to anything that at least initially seemed like it was coming from a different place. So I went through, like, a lot of time of just this, like, tornado of just of needing something to hold on to. And I was on Blog Talk a lot. and I really loved, like, there's just something really genuine about the exchange between you two women. And it was like, you know, I didn't have, like, a title I could put on it, you know, like Abraham Hicks or whatever movement I was, like, signing on to. But I really listened to quite a few shows, and I was totally not at a place of sharing of my own. But it just really, really sort of spoke to me at the level of, like, a universal process that we're all going through. And it managed to, like, puncture all the labels for me. Like, I didn't care that it wasn't my vocabulary, or it wasn't Jewish, or it wasn't religious, or it wasn't this or that. It was just, like, something genuine, that if people are going through this in different places on the planet, then it just is.
Wow.
you so, certainly get us. That's you really do. I mean, that's it. You know, because it is a universal. It's a human graduation to becoming from Homo sapien to Homo illuminus. And I'm not saying it's the only way it can be done, but it's the way I'm doing it. It's the way Janine's doing it. It's, you know what I mean? It's, I know it can be done this way. It's not the only way, but it can be done this way. And so therefore, yeah, you know, let's share it, because for me, it's, I love it because, you know, so many people will often say, I don't know where to begin. It's like, pick a fear, any fear you want.
Or
begin
the
there.
Fear picks you too. Like in your case, you just came up against something that had like a timeline of, it just kind of ran out and you were up against it. But what I love is that you said that this is not about any labels, and that this just feels genuine, because that is what resonates. It's the genuineness, you know? And so that was such a beautiful way to say it.
Yeah,
you hear
exactly.
That, Baldi? Yeah.
Oh,
exactly,
totally.
Yeah. And then I got to go back to these Kabbalistic sages and sources and sort of like find that genuine universal light inside of them. And that's what's been really exciting kind of since then, is like,
exactly.
I had sort of had that, yeah, like I have this experience of just like pushing it all away so I could connect to that genuine point. And then it's like, I mean, sometimes I have the experience of going back to it and it just sort of feels very like particularistic to me, and I can't really find myself. But I ideally, like when I'm inspired, I can go back to it and realize like, these were humongous universal souls who were like downloading this information into vocabularies and systems. And in all of these sources, the sort of like equivalent of ascension in the Jewish vocabulary is like redemption. And the definition of redemption is that the light of these universal teachings comes out into the world. So it's like there's this light in these teachings that I'm also now like just working on like accessing that and connecting with people who are doing that in all sorts of forums. But it's like that that point at which all there is that sort of genuine, real experience, and just like constantly just like pushing away the labels and the lines that kind of like keep that from shining.
Yeah. When Goldie talks about how, you know, maybe what I see in the subtle realms or feel or hear in the subtle realms, it's kind of that universal truth that reveals itself, you know, whether it's in a dream or an archetypal image, or it's just, so once you tap into that genuineness, what is genuine in something reveals itself or not, you know, or if it's not genuine. But I think that, you know, that's what I'm hearing you say, that there, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, so yeah, I mean, I get it.
Well, I have a question, though. Do you feel your own field, you know, influencing, you know, maybe others around you who are also, you know, because it's okay to have, you know, a religious belief as long as you're not giving your power mm-hmm. away to that belief. You know, that's
yeah.
the key to,
yeah.
and that can be science, that can be religion, that can be education, that can be the intellect, for God's sakes. We give our power away to the intellect all the time in America. So do you feel do you have any, because I would love it if you could share, and if you have it, I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. trying to put you on the spot or anything, but if you have a story where, you know, just your presence, all of a mm-hmm. sudden, you know, you might see a family member start taking on mm-hmm. a new perception, because I'm seeing that with my brother. My mm-hmm. brother is, like, reaching out, saying, I want to be a part of your and Scott's life, and in all honesty, me and my brother,
wow.
most of our adult life, have not spoken to each other. So, like, where the hell did that come from? You know, but
right.
it comes from, you know, the more I integrate my own, and especially my brother, who clearly we're genetically linked. I mean, it's interesting to be so connected to somebody and yet on the third dimension have, you know, an ocean, so to speak, between us, even though he's here often. He's in my dad's house often, and we just won't speak to each other because I trigger his sense of what he doesn't know about himself. I trigger that in him. And instead of wanting to look at it, he just assumed push me away, which is, and, you know, I've learned, okay, you know, you can push me away. That's fine because, again, that's not going to stop me from getting where I need to go. I'm getting there whether my brother's going or not. But the more I integrate, the more, you know, my father has made major shifts in my experience of him, and now my brother just this weekend is like, yeah, I'd like to come over and to yours and Scott's house and celebrate my 50th birthday. I, my jaw hit the ground. It was like, okay. So do you see that at all happening in your experience?
Wow. Yeah, that's really exciting. I'm definitely glad to hear that's possible.
Exactly. That's the good girl. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a relationship right now with the person who I became religious with. With sort of like, I went through this big change that was like 6 years ago that was sort of like coming out of a very like intellectual context to a more like something kind of woke up inside and I needed to be on this path for like the last 6 years. And and I've had this very close relationship with the person who sort of our growth was like parallel a lot of the time.
Right.
So obviously this awakening has caused a lot of let's say friction, or the kind of friction that's like sparks pieces of wood, you know, grinding together.
Right on. Yes, I get that.
And I guess I say that because, you know, I'm kind of in this place where like I can't end this relationship right now. Like I there's so much like heart love in it that it's like there's too much going on with me right now that to make that change too. So I kind of just try to like see it as part of my process, and this person who I love is actually the person in my world who's most curious about going through. So it's like a lot of the times when it comes to sort of like it's when like rituals come up, like the Sabbath and things like that, where there's a lot of like practical things that need to be done and I'm just not in that place, and he is, it's hard, like in the moment.
Right,
I guess
right.
Like when any two people, are in a different place about any issue.
Exactly.
But when it's not in that moment of like, you know, our ways of life are like grinding together. When it's like,
I know the grind. I so know the grind, Ariella. I so know. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I say also on a side note, I say grind also because that's the metaphor for when God split between Adam and Eve. It was like with a chainsaw, and that pain of separation is actually like the fire that happens when people come together again. It's like in order to meld, we go through all that like grinding. I mean, ideally, you know.
as long as
I'm in, I'll describe it that way. But anyway, like
exactly.
As soon as I'm out, I'll be, you know, my philosophy will change. But when we're out of that moment of like the intensity of the conflict, I've had some really powerful conversations with him where it's like, just sort of, I just like honestly describe what I'm going through, and I feel like as I'm reading texts, I actually like find, of course, this is all like predestined and everything, and I feel like the divine presence is, you know, shows up in all these amazing ways, and so I'll find these texts that describe what I feel like I'm going through, but always in this, like, this is what's going to happen in the end times, and it's all like ascension. I mean, it's all over. It's like in these texts, it's this very guarded experience in the innermost depths of a person or in the final days, but I sort of use these texts like a way to move to this person, and maybe if other people from my religious background come my way, as like, you know, there's this whole sense that like this is an important time. Everyone's sort of anticipating this coming of the Messiah and all of that. And these texts will say this about a change of consciousness. So it's like, what are we waiting for? You know? And then if I can like carefully enough, like we were saying before, like just genuinely describe what I'm going through, and not only describe it, but like even like channel it with this other person, then we can get to a place where I feel like he gets it from a heart space. Like it's not out of the mind anymore. It's like, wow, that's what I want too, or that's the deal. And so we kind of go back and forth between that. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's probably the most interesting person I could talk about. Then there's the whole Jewish world,
which
is like splintered in so many ways. But yeah, but it's an intimate relationship that I can really open up about it.
What I love is the letting go of the labels and just being attracted to genuineness, and you kind of can't go wrong that way, you know, like no matter who you're relating to. So and what, you know, what Goldie and I were talking about, in which is the field of yourself, because of, I think, that genuine field where the labels are being dropped by you, you know, it'll be interesting to hear from you, like, yeah, how is that affecting those around you? You know, because, you know, it is, I'm curious. So,
well, one thing I will say is, like, last year when all the earthquakes were happening and birds were falling from the sky, and that felt like an apocalypse time.
Yeah.
So, like, during that time, I was probably in, like, the height of my, like, just, like, we were sort of sure that, like, any day World War III was going to break out, and just, like, I was scared to even go on buses here, and I would look at Arabs, sort of, like, it was a very high-tension time here, but also It was a very high-tension time inside of myself, and it's, like, now that I'm feeling these other layers of myself, I feel like nothing, like, thank God, but, like, the situation here, except for, like, all fear about Iran that's being beaten, but the situation is very different. I mean, there's definitely a lot of anticipation, but my perception of current events and the place of the world has totally changed 180.
Yeah, that's fantastic that it's changed. I'm assuming the change is that you there's a level of awareness that, I mean, truly, that you're eternal, that you're infinite.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
See, most people don't understand that it's in the situations where it becomes most dire that our presence shows up.
Like, yeah.
It's so crazy because how do you encourage people? Yes, go to a near death situation. Yes, please. Take the drugs all the way to near death. You know, take the relationship where he's kicking your ass to near death. You know, you can't say that to people, and yet time and time and time again, it is in the darkest hour that we know who we are. I mean, the paradox is just, it's mind-blowing, literally mind-blowing, because that's what it is. We have to blow up our minds, so to speak, because the mind keeps telling us, no, go back, it's not safe, and the mind believes it's protecting us. I get that. I'm not angry at my mind. I'm just not giving my mind, it doesn't run the ship anymore. Now my soul is running the ship, and the soul is always going, oh, yeah, go. You know, it's like Frodo and Sam. Go to Mordor. Drop that ring in that fire. Don't worry, we'll get you there. Don't just take it day by day. We'll get you there. And day by day, if we hold steadfast to our true belief in our soul and our truth, we'll get there. We will. Spite of everybody around us. Because, I mean, and I know you must be going through this, because I was raised Jewish. So, I mean, I realize it's different in Israel than it is in America. But, boy, the Jews really, they're a gang. they don't like when you leave. They don't, and I know that, especially if you're not just leaving, but you're leaving with, a completely different belief system that just doesn't fit into their, like, I didn't go to college, I cleaned houses. Around here, that was like, what? What is, my Jewish granddaughter doing that? It's like, because I'm following my truth. College. I don't need the college. I don't need to become an engineer or a doctor. That's just not my gig. I'll clean houses. I'll wipe toilets. I don't care. Give me cash. I can be my own boss. Okay, sign me up. I mean, but I really, it's significant to leave the tribe. Truly, Ayala, it's significant. And I'm telling you, there's a presence that, as you're talking about, current events, that your presence in Israel is, I believe your field is, being prepped for significant influence, and not just to your family, but to the land itself. I've always been told, gosh, since 92, when I first started listening to Kryon, what happens in Israel will influence the world.
Wow. Yeah.
And to hold the presence like you're doing, and not from a space of that you're doing, you're being that already. You wouldn't be attracted to the show. That this is what I love about being as kind of crazy and deep as I am, because those who really are attracted, I know they're doing the work. They're doing the integration, because by proxy you wouldn't be attracted to the show if you weren't, and yet by doing the work and integrating it, we're all affecting significant parts of our landscapes. I mean, but Israel is, you know, like, whoa, girl. You know, my hat's off to you. You truly picked a challenging life to go through this ascension. And yet you picked it because you know you can do it. That's why you chose it. But living through it is, you know, as we all know, one day at a time. I truly do. I respect you tremendously, tremendously.
And I do too. And I was really, I remember when you Twittered me, and then I saw that you were listening to us, and I think you had emailed me once, and Goldie once, and commented, and I was so, you know, I was just so happy and excited, and I've always been happy when I see your name, and thank you so much. It's fun to have you listening and knowing you're there, and that we're connected, and you know, I'm really honored as well. So
yeah.
So you know, I hope you keep in touch with us and let us know.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. You're a sister. You know, you got sisters here. And we really do support you.
That's really helpful. Just because I really have sort of like detached from the physical surroundings I'm in order to do this, and so
exactly I get that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really helpful to kind of have someone even like just grasp that I'm here, because then I have a little sense of why I'm here, also on a physical plane.
Yes.
And yeah, and you're more than capable. And you know, it's almost this, you know, to be so skilled at when you feel that tension, that you're able to even practice more, just keeping your field neutral and you know, calm. And it's amazing what can happen, you know, just by your presence. So, you know, Goldie and I are feeling that happening, and we're just really enjoying it, because it's, you know, all of a sudden it's like in the last week even, we've been discovering more and more what that means. And I think we're all feeling it.
Yeah, well, spring. I think, you know, because remember, if we're aligned with Mother Earth, well, so I don't know if you have seasons in Israel, or, but, I don't mean to be stupid. I have never really ventured out of the United States, but, you know, spring in this hemisphere of the globe, it's movement. And I mean, son of a bitch, as soon as it hit spring, it was like within a day or two, Kelly calls me up and goes, I've got a job potential. It's like, you know, my brother approaches me after like 3 years of not speaking to me, going, I'd like to get to know you and your husband. It's like, whoa, you know, it's just things are moving, like, and I go, well, of course, if I'm aligned with Mother Earth, then indeed spring is the time of growth and movement. So, you know, it shouldn't surprise me, even though, of course, it does every time, but it shouldn't surprise me. Because it does, I am in alignment with Mother Earth by intention. Because that's the only time I'm truly comfortable kind of going outside. Like, I'm not really, you know, I don't do bars or anything like that. If I go outside, I'm sitting in a forest, you know, rolling around in the dirt and, you know, feeling the just sheer experience of fresh air and ducks and birds and bugs and all things organic and natural that continuously tell me, you know, I'm loved, genuinely loved. You know, that is, ignore that woman, we're good. We'll be done.
That's
when
great.
We need to be done. Yeah. So. Yeah, you're amazing. I'm so glad you called in. And Guy, your English is perfect. I mean, is English like the second language there? I don't know anything.
Well, I'm American. I grew up in California. And,
okay.
Yeah, I was raised, like, I went to high school here, and then I lived in the States again, and then I'm back here for some studying. So kind of grew up between both.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm American for most.
Yeah, no, I mean, because I was like, you know, you're like, I'll call in. I'm like, oh God, I hope I can understand her. You know, and then you talked, and I was like, oh well, clearly I don't have a problem with that at all. I totally understand you. That I'm just so psyched that you called in. I really am. It was it's fun. It's fun sharing, and it's more than fun. I think it's, you know, like you were saying, it's our bloodline. You know what I mean? That we talk about the Illuminati bloodline all the time. Well, I believe that those who are genuinely going to, you know, the 7%, you know, those 7% I talk about. I mean, we're not talking about a lot of people here. 7% are going to be the ones that at least make it the potential for the other 7 billion to do it. And I believe that with all my heart, because, you know, I don't know who's going to do it, and there's no right or wrong, but somebody's got to, you know, pave the path at some point in order, just like it's almost even like I'm picturing the neurological pathway in our brains, you know, leaving old paradigms. It's about, you know, changing things up neurologically in our brain. And someone's got to do this in order for it to become a fact that it can be done on the planet. That's just the simple truth. And you know, the people who are doing it, you know, the more I get to know them, the more we are so, you know, we're unsuspecting, our lives are pretty much, you know, they're humble lives, you know. I mean, of course, Goldie lives in her own little, you know, woo, I'm amazing world. But the truth is, the third dimension really looks at me and goes, you know, golden who? Golden what? You know, I'm really not a big deal in the third dimensional world. But I know what I know in my soul. I know what I know in all of our souls, that we're a very big deal. I just know that. And that's why I kind of get, you know, I'm a little silly and, you know, scream it from the rooftops, because I really do know it, that we're the 7% making a difference. And by golly, I'm, you know, I could not be more pleased to be with family than I am right now, because, like you, it's imperative. I mean, because this is your Skype.
Because
I'm on Skype too. We should Skype. Me, you, and Janine should Skype.
Yeah,
Janine,
great.
Janine,
awesome.
Do you have a Skype? Okay, let's private message all this. We should Skype. And actually, Simon Skypes too. I mean, we can do group calls. Literally,
okay.
Norway, Israel, and America. You know, okay, I say we have the bases covered. because it just makes sense to do that right now. It just makes sense to do that. So
I will.
I'm on that. I really am on that, because you're fantastic. So is Simon and Janine. I know this because I'm talking to everybody. Now we need to all be talking together. And, you know, this can be the new mastermind, Jay.
Yeah. Mastermind.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And listen, yeah, if your boyfriend wants to, Ayala, if he wants to join us, he's welcome to join us too. I mean, you know.
He only speaks Hebrew, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't, you translate. It'll be in your field.
Yeah.
It's all good. And you know what, though? The truth is, it's who needs to be in this group. That's the ones that are here. I mean, that's the, you know, the beauty and the simplicity of it all. Because Scott wouldn't join us either, and he speaks English. But it's all good, right? Because, you know, we do what we do, and by golly, we do it well.
Well, thank
you.
So,
yeah, you're fantastic. I'll get Facebook. So I'll bring us all together on Facebook. So let's share our Skype names, and let's really make this happen. And we'll figure out timelines. You know, because, well, what time is it for you right now in Israel?
It's like 4 a.m. actually.
Yeah, I think for Simon it's similar. Okay.
Yeah. But
we can do it during the day, meaning, which would be, I think, an earlier night for you guys. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We won't make you get up at 4 a.m. every time to have a conversation. We'll work it out. I mean, because we have, right, Jay, you have flexibility on that, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's not like, well.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll make that work, you know, for everybody. But yeah. anybody want to have some closing statements?
Well, it's been incredible because I love how the field, the presence or the knowledge or the knowing of the field and how it's our awareness of our field is becoming so apparent. And I love that Ayala called in and spoke about the labels going away and just the sense of being attracted to genuineness. And her calling in really made the call. You know, it just made it for me. It was wonderful. So that's all.
Right on. Well, I'm truly grateful. Truly, because as soon as you called in, it's like there's something for me about hearing voices.
Yeah.
You know, because it's funny. One of the things that my brother and me haven't spoken in a very long time, and when we were growing up, and even to this day, when people don't, like, if my trigger is when people go silent treatment on me, they just go silent on me, and there's something about the voice for me, because it's an activated, as soon as you called in, Ayala, I was like, oh, my God, sister,
yeah.
Man. I just immediately felt it, and it's not that I didn't feel it before, it just took it anchored it, that anchoring thing. There's something about voice for me that is an anchor as well as a trigger. And, yeah, it's like, oh, my God, because Simon, I've never spoken to Simon. I've only typed with him, and, you know, I've had energetic experiences with him, but there's, I'm like, I want to hear your voice.
Yeah.
So I'm also very excited. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I mean, that is just, you know, that is, it's a gift. It's a gift that we'll keep on giving in the archives and everything. but it feels like it's the beginning of something that, you know, it's something birthed because of that. And that's really, you know, most exciting. Just, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It just feels, every time we have a show, it seems like every week, just something miraculous happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the fact that, you know, well, everything you said about, you know, the genuineness, all of this, it's like, wow, this is what my dreams are made of. I mean, this is what I've always dreamed for the show, and here it is. You know, it's like, wow, this is, it's real. You know, it's in this dimension. It's real. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Right. It's amazing how when we voice it and hear it, it becomes, like, that much more real. It's like these things can all be sort of going on inside of me, but then there's, like, a moment when I can finally say it, and it's heard, and then I hear more, and it's like I've known all these things inside of me, but the conversation sort of it's more than validates it. It's speech. It's like there's this whole idea of like that, you know, we're these spiritual and physical beings. So, like, I can be internalizing a lot of material, doing my own internal processes, but then it's that, like, expressing it and having it be something interpersonal and that, that starts moving in reality, that it's a whole new level.
I think that's
it's
the anchoring that we've been talking about. It gets anchored within us, you know. Something about the voicing of it, the hearing of it, the speaking of it, and it becomes more anchored. I that's where this whole thing about the field's coming in. So it's just all so perfectly in sync.
Talk about manifesting.
Well, thank you. I'm happy.
Yes, me and Janine will be celebrating that, because after every show we talk and we go, can you believe it? Oh, my God. So know that you will be celebrated tonight. I mean, I think you feel it anyways.
Great.
But yes, and then, of course, the beauty is, you know, I'm totally open to potentially once a week. We have a call time. We get together, and it's convenient for every of us. It's how me and Janine first met. They're mastermind groups, but this isn't about, you know, setting intentions. This is just about sharing. You know, just support. It's a support group, which, I mean, I'm down for that. You know, but we'll put it out there. Let's see how it works. You know, I'm open. No pressure. Just you know, just attraction and you know, I'll put the fishing line out there. We'll see what we catch.
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for calling, Janine. As always, thank you for being your amazing self. And thank you, everybody. Thank you, Simon. We'll fill you in. See, Simon only listens from the computer, so as soon as we stop streaming, he's not hearing any of this.
Yeah,
but he'll listen to the archive and get it. So I'm very hopeful that Simon joins us in this mastermind group. I'm just going to call it mastermind for lack of a better word. And thank you, Ayala, and Dennis, and Susan, if you're listening, and all the listeners. You know, hold steadfast. You know, it's getting crazy, but God knows. It's also getting clearer. It's also getting clearer, and that is that's the point that, you know, we can come from that point, you know. The crazy turns into clarity. It's a crazy world, but that seems to be the way it's working. So,
well,
thank you all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
guys.
Yes, I will. I can't wait to talk to you guys again. It's been a pleasure, truly.
Good night, Ayala.
Well,
good night.
Thank you so much.
Be well until next time.
Oh, our pleasure.
Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad I had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.